What in the world is repentance? See, that's what we want to talk about tonight. Last week we looked at the subject of regeneration. The idea of being regenerated. The fact that when a person is born, the Bible says they're physically alive but spiritually dead. That is, physically they have life, but spiritually they do not have life, because they are separated from the God who is life. And that God sustains our physical life, as we saw in 2 Peter chapter 3. God sustains our physical life because he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be regenerated, born again. Tonight we're going to deal with this subject of repentance. Just solid doctrinal messages. We need to really make sure we know what repentance is. So, what about repentance? I mean, John the Baptist said, Matthew 3:2, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What was he telling them to do? What did he mean when he said repent? Listen to this. Jesus in Matthew 4:17 said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Same message. Peter in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." What were they saying to do? I mean, in other words, if someone said to you, "Have you repented?" Would you say yes or no? Or would you say, "Well, I don't know. What is that?" We better know. Peter was clearly tying repentance to sins being blotted out. And John the Baptist and Jesus were talking about repenting because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Paul in Acts chapter 17 says, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." What is repentance? What is God commanding all men everywhere to do? God is now commanding all men everywhere to repent. What is God commanding us to do? I mean, if we don't know, we better find out. You remember the seven churches in Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3? All these seven churches. And these were all certainly professing believers. God called them churches. Were they all saved? I don't know. But clearly, some of the people were saved. The message of the Lord Jesus to these churches was not be saved. But to seven of those churches, there were, I think, five of the seven, God told specifically to repent. He said in Revelation 3:19 to the Laodicean church, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And I bring that out just to remind us that God was talking to believers. Sometimes we can tend to think, well, repentance has to do with being saved, so you have to repent to be saved. And that is true. But when we repent, that's not something we do just once and then never again. Repentance, once we understand it, is to be an ongoing pattern in a believer's life. Well, we better understand what repentance means. What is repentance? I wonder what you think. Is repentance some kind of a public, shameful, wailing, mourning, chest beating, embarrassing shame to ourselves? Is that what it means to repent? Is the idea that somehow we need to stand up in front of anyone and say, "I'm a horrible sinner"? I mean, is that the idea? No, that is not the idea. If you've seen the movie Sheffy that BJ presented, I don't know how many of you have seen that, but it's worth looking at. They produced that many years ago. In fact, let me think here. Good night. 44 years ago, because it was while I was there, and they produced this movie. But if you remember the movie, or whether you do or not, Sheffy was a circuit-riding preacher. But before he was a circuit-riding preacher, he grew up in a home where the mom and dad were very formal. Dad died, and mom was left raising the family. And Sheffy was getting in trouble. He had some friends that he kind of started hanging with. And this is all based on the truth. He went to some sort of a revival meeting with them in order to heckle the preacher. And long story short, he came to Christ and was saved, gloriously saved, and he served the Lord for the rest of his life. But when he went home and he talked to his mother, and he said to his mother that he had gotten saved, her reaction was quite priceless. She was religious. She went to church. She was very involved in her church, but she was not saved. And when he told her he got saved, she was astounded and offended. And she said something like, "We are not brow-beating sinners. We're Christians." That pictures, I think, what some people think repentance is. Repentance is not something necessarily that's public or that is owning some horrible thing. Repentance is something we need to understand. But before I get to what it is, maybe we need to clarify what it's not. It might be helpful to really establish what it's not. And there's another word. I wonder if it comes to your mind. There's a word that many religions talk about, and I'll just say especially Roman Catholicism, talks about a word, and the word is penance. Sometimes we get those two mixed up, penance and repentance. Penance is not in the Bible, but repentance is in the Bible. John the Baptist preached that they should repent. Penance is doing good works in order to replace guilt. You go to the priest, you confess some sins, the priest assigns certain things, say certain prayers, light certain candles, give certain money, whatever. In different cultures, at different times in history, they've said different things. But it's the idea of doing certain things in order to assuage your guilt, in order to do penance, to earn your way back into God's favor. Penance is reformation. Penance is trying to do better. Penance is the idea of being sad and contrite or broken for having been caught in sin. But here's the point. It is very possible, I'll give you some examples from the Bible. It is possible to admit sin without repenting. And that is a scary thought. It is possible to admit sin without repenting. For example, I wonder if you would know who would say these words. Listen to this. Here's a quote from the Bible. "I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." You know who said that? That was Pharaoh, before God killed him and all of his armies. He said, "I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." He said the right words, but there was no repentance in his heart, is all here. Say. Here's another one. Balaam said, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me." Do you remember Achan, when Joshua led the people into the promised land, and they were said, "Hey, don't take anything from Ai," but Achan took some, God put the finger on him, so to speak, so that it was clear that Achan was the one who sinned. Achan said these words. Listen to how good these words are. "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." But it wasn't repentance. How do you know? God killed him. God had him to be stoned and his whole family. How about this? King Saul. Samuel went to him and gave him a specific assignment to do, and Samuel did not carry it out. And when Samuel came to him and he said, "Hey, why didn't you obey the Lord?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I have obeyed." And Samuel said, What's the bleating of this sheep?" And he said, "It is better to obey than to sacrifice." And in that context, here's what was said. I'm sorry, I had the wrong note there. That was a different situation. I'm sorry, gave you the wrong one. Let me move on. I got the wrong guy here. Anyway, here's another one. I wonder if you could guess who this was. "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." That's pretty good words. He was doctrinally spot on. "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." That was Judas. But he certainly did not repent. So we come back to this idea, What is repentance? Repentance is a change. When John the Baptist said, repent, for this kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was saying, change. You cannot just continue on the way you are. There has to be a change. Picture it like this. You're driving down the road, and when you come to a certain place on the road, there's someone with their car parked right in the middle of that road. And the car is parked sideways on the road, and there are little lights on the top going around, and there's a guy standing right in front of that car, and he's called a police officer. And you pull up to him, and he says, you cannot go this way anymore. You can go that way, or you can go that way, but you cannot keep on the road that you're going. That's the idea of repentance. It's making a choice and making a change. And here's the thing. Whenever we hear the truth, whenever we hear the word of God, we are making a choice. We are either going one direction or the other. And God is calling us to be changing our minds. That's not something that only the unsaved person does, although if an unsaved person tries to have faith without repenting, he is not saved. And we have many, many examples of that, in the Bible, but in life, where people put kind of the religious words on, and they may well be sincere. And they may well have religious teachers that are teaching them to do that. And they put all this on kind of as an external thing that they put on. And they say the right words, but there's no heart change. Repentance is a matter of heart change. It's a change toward God, and it's a change towards sin. 1 Thessalonians describes repentance when Paul wrote to this very young church and said, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's repentance. Repentance is not just a change of mind that doesn't change the life. If we think we have changed our mind, but we don't really change our life, we haven't really changed our mind. If we were to leave here tonight and say we were going to go down to Sonic again, we did that a couple weeks ago, or maybe instead of Sonic we'd go somewhere else, just for speed's sake. But if we were going to say, hey, let's meet down at such and such, and on the way there, you say to your wife, I think I'm going to have a vanilla ice cream cone. You keep driving a little ways, and then you say, no, I changed my mind, I'm going to have a chocolate ice cream cone. But when you get there, you get a vanilla ice cream cone. You didn't change your mind. I mean, unless you're just fickle, you know, you're just going back and forth. And that might be a kind of an inconsequential illustration. But the point is, a change of mind is one. Repentance, that kind of a change of mind, is the kind of a change that we stick to. We may not stick to it perfectly, but we certainly mean to. We've thought it through carefully. We are making a determined decision. This is something that I believe God wants me to do. I'm going to trust Him to help me, and we take that step. Let me give you a different illustration. If a person stops ignoring their Bible, and they say, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day, but they don't start reading their Bible every day, that is a vain decision. That's not going to help them. If we make decisions like that, and we say, I'm going to stop ignoring my Bible, I'm going to start reading it every day, that may be some kind of a decision, but if we don't follow through, if we don't do it, it's not real repentance. It is a decision that has no value. In fact, it will probably lead to guilt and even lost faith in ever changing. Sometimes we might get the idea that, okay, you know, if I walk an aisle and I pray a prayer, if I get guilty or I get ashamed, that, okay, dear Lord, help me to do my best, I'm going to read my Bible every day. That's great as far as it goes. But then what we have to do is we have to read our Bible. We might have to set a reminder. We might have to say, I'm going to read the Bible before I eat breakfast. Or I might say, I'm going to read the Bible with my wife to help me be accountable. I'm going to read the Bible. Whatever. But knowing ourselves, if we make a decision and we do it in order to please the Lord, we're going to build into our lives habits, some sort of procedures or whatever to build us up and actually to make that happen rather than just vainly say, well, I'm going to make a decision to read my Bible every day, but don't read the Bible every day, and then blame God about that. See, the problem is we made a decision, but we really didn't repent. We changed our mind, but we really didn't change our mind. We said, oh yeah, I'll eat vanilla ice cream. Well, no, I'll eat chocolate ice cream. Well, no, I think I'll eat strawberry ice cream. You say, well, what difference does it make? It makes no difference. That's the entire point. But repentance is a thoughtful, even eternal consideration of truth. Let me give you a couple of quotes. One theologian put it like this: repentance is godly sorrow for one's sin, together with a resolution to turn from it. Here's another one. It's longer. It says, repentance describes a radical change in the individual's disposition, for the change of mind concerns his judgment upon himself and his sin, together with an evaluation of God's demands upon him. The transformation implied, therefore, is not a matter merely of mental judgment, but of new religious and moral attitudes, a turning to God, and of new behavior. A decision without determination is just hollow. It's vain. It's not going to help us. On the other hand, true repentance is when we look at ourselves, we look at God, we turn to God, away from what I have been thinking, what I have been believing, and I start believing that He can change me. Repentance is when I look at myself and all of my weakness, all of my failures, all of my background, all of my needs, all of my problems, and then I look at God and His Word, and I say, this is who I am, but this is what God wants me to be, and I believe that God can help me change. That's what repentance is. It is a change of mind that we follow through on. Why do we follow through? It's not because we think we're great. It's not merely by self-discipline. It's done by faith in God and His Word that He can change me. That's what Christian growth is. Here's a couple other points. Repentance includes the whole person. I'll go quickly through this. Repentance includes our mind, the way we think. There is specific knowledge of sin. It's not just a blanket admission of wrong. A wonderful illustration of that is David in Psalm 51. When David said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. When he said that, he didn't just say, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. He said, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. He was owning what Nathan said he did. He was owning that. He's saying, this is mine. It belongs to me. It's not my parents' fault. It's not the way I was raised's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not my gender's fault. It's not my genetic fault. It's not my nation's fault. It's not my church's fault. It's not my whatever else. No, this is my transgression. This is my iniquity. This is my sin. That is where repentance starts. When we're willing to take God's word and we're willing to look at our life and we're willing to say, this is the way I'm living. This is the way I've always lived. This is who I am. I learned this from my mom. I learned this from my dad. This is the McAvoy gene all the way down. I mean, this is just the way we do life. But this is what I see in the Bible. Dear God, man, if you could help me be like that, that's what I want. Will we achieve it perfectly? Yes, when we see Jesus. But between now and then, we are struggling onward to walk by faith, to apply God's word in our lives, and to trust His grace to make us different. So repentance includes the mind. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Repentance includes the emotions. It's not just remorse for getting caught. It's brokenness for offending God. That's a big difference. It's not just some kind of emotional response to the fact that I've been caught. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I wish I hadn't done it. That sort of thing. All of that is fine, but that's not repentance. Repentance goes deeper. We recognize that this is not just about the police officer caught me or my mother caught me or whoever caught us. The idea is, this is between me and God. I have offended my God. Listen to this. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's a pretty classic passage because Paul is writing to this church who he had written a very stern letter to in the first book of Corinthians. And in our second book of Corinthians, he wrote back to them and was encouraging them to restore someone to their fellowship who they had set aside. But listen to what he said. Paul wrote to the church, the believers. And he said, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry. I'm not glad that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. He said, you were sorrowful, you were sorry, I am rejoicing. But I'm not rejoicing that you were sorrowful. I'm rejoicing that you didn't stop at being sorrowful, but you went beyond that to repentance. I rejoice not that ye were sorry, but that ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. He said, you could have gotten bitter at my rebuke. You could have gotten angry at me. You could have hardened your heart, but instead you got sorry, you went to repentance, and he went on and he said, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. He's writing that to a church. That's pretty stern stuff. He's not writing that to unsaved people. He's writing to saved people saying, godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. And the reality is, as a believer, it is possible for me to be sorry for my sin without repenting. It's possible for me to be sorry without changing my mind. In other words, what we need to do is to recognize the reason why I did this is because that's who I am. The devil didn't make me do it. The person that drove like that I got mad and I mouthed off at them, they didn't make me do that. That came out of my heart. You know, the person that treats you bad and then you flare out at them, you lose patience, you get angry or whatever. We're not kind, we're not gracious, we're not loving to somebody. What we need to do as believers, the world won't teach us this, but as believers we need to recognize, whoa, I just saw something in my heart. And admit that. And accept that and say, okay, God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God says that we are to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God says that you remember what Jesus said. They said, hey, why don't you wash your hands? Aren't you careful about what you eat? You need to do this ceremonial cleansing. He said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. What was he teaching us? He was saying it's what comes out of our mouth because it comes from our heart and it shows us what's there. When it comes out of our mouth, we have a choice. We can either say, whoa, I just learned something about me. Or we can say, well, no, I didn't mean it. Or we can say, well, I'm sorry. Sorry doesn't pay the rent. Sorry doesn't help us. It's the sorrow of the world that works death. And we get hard to God and hard to the truth. And we don't want to listen to that anymore because we don't want to be guilty. Don't stay guilty. Just admit it. Repent of it. Say, this is what God says. This is what I do. Here's the plumb bob. I am not perpendicular. Or here's the level and I'm not on the level. I got messed up in this area. Great. That's why you got saved. We have hope. We trust the Lord. That's why we got born again. It's because we have such big problems and because we are broken. That is the attitude to continue on coming back to the Lord, coming back to the light of God's truth, not so that we just, read it and check it off the to-do list and aren't guilty because we didn't read the Bible. No, we read the Bible to learn who God is and to learn who we are so that He can make us more and more and more like Him. That's the idea of repentance. Repentance also includes the will, determination to abandon disobedience and surrender to Christ. Another theologian wrote that. After that passage in 2 Corinthians, let me read this to you. This is to believers talking about repentance. Paul wrote, for behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. In other words, here's the proof that you really repented. You weren't just sorry, but you repented. Here's the proof that you sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. That's the book of 2 Corinthians. You can easily remember it. It's the convenience store, 7-Eleven. But you go back to that verse and you look at it, and God talked to these believers, and he said, here's how I know that you really repented. Because in you there was carefulness and clearing yourselves and indignation and fear and vehement desire and zeal and revenge. In other words, you got upset that you sinned. You did not want sin to wrestle you to the ground and destroy your life. You got angry at the devil and you decided you're going to fight back. You got upset at the world that was just pushing you into its mold. And you decided, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I want to be godly instead of worldly. That's the idea. And that's what they did. And it started with repentance. A couple other points about repentance. Repentance involves faith. Acts 20 and 21 says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Matthew 21, 32, they repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Hebrews 6, 1 says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. The point is, repentance and faith are together. And theologically, we can take them apart. Theologically, they are two separate distinguishable concepts, but they are not practically distinguishable in experience. I mean, if you repent, you trust, if you trust the Lord truly, you've repented because it's this change of mind. Somebody has said repentance and faith are like two sides of one coin, and I like that because you can look at repentance, that's what we're doing tonight. And you can turn the coin over and you can look at faith, but you can't cut it in half without destroying both. Someone else has said they're like Siamese twins. If you separate them, you kill them. Repentance and faith, they go together. But tonight, we're studying this idea of repentance. And then here's another point, and that is that repentance is the gift of God. Acts 5:31 says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. God gives repentance. Acts 11:18 says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So if repentance is God's gift, does that mean that we just wait, kind of like a little child on Christmas morning, and they just can't wait till Christmas, and they can't wait to come down the steps, and they just can't wait to open their gifts, and as soon as they get that gift and they open it, we just wait on God? No, it's just like regeneration. We don't wait on God. John the Baptist did not say, this is what repentance is, so in case you ever get it, now you'll know because I explained it. No, he said, you repent. Jesus said, you repent. Paul said, you repent. Peter said, you repent. If you repent, God gets all the glory. And God's the one that changes us. But we're the ones that need to go to God and to mean business with him. It is not a one-time issue only for unbelievers. Repentance, or this idea of changing our mind, changing our thinking, coming to the place where we recognize, you know, the way I've been thinking about this is not right. The way I've been thinking about how I'm supposed to be a husband. Wow, I thought I was okay. But now I just see this in the Bible. Wow, I'm not okay. It doesn't matter what wife you're living to. It doesn't matter how messed up she is. It doesn't matter what your father was like. It's when we come to the place where we say, okay, I'm a husband. This is what the Bible says about the husband. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm thinking. And that's wrong. I want to be what God says. That's repentance. When we follow through and we take steps to that end and we repent, we change our mind. We start studying what the Bible says. We learn what the Bible says. We memorize what the Bible says. We put reminders up. If you're like me, you put reminders all over the place because you forget all the time and you remember and you say, I'm going to read this. I've got little thing in my car. Hey, this is months ago. Well, actually, it has to do with King's Dominion, just my own little personal embarrassing testimony. I'll tell you what, when I was driving at first, when I was driving, I almost said something about my dad, and I will. My dad was a really aggressive driver, okay? And I mean, I came by it honestly. It's not his fault, okay? Okay, well, I don't want to deny what I've been dealing with here. But that's the way I was raised. That's what I was. And I'll tell you what, when I started working for Domino's, see, when you deliver pizza, the more you deliver, the more money you get, right? I mean, it's kind of obvious, you know? I mean, if you deliver to two places, you get two tips. If you deliver to four in that hour, you get four tips. So I was hustling and moving and that sort of thing. And I found myself getting very frustrated with slow drivers. You ever tailgate somebody? Yeah, me too. Did you ever? I'm not going to tell you anymore that I did. I can't even think of anything right now, but the Holy Spirit might bring something to mind. But I just tell you, I was just aggressive. and I wanted to get the pizza out. Stupid, I understand. I mean, we're not talking on the interstates here. We're talking on little community roads, and it's like, come on, get out of my way, you know, and all that. I just came under conviction about that thing, and I began to realize, good night, man. What's the difference between the way you're driving and the way some pagan would drive? And I couldn't come up with anything. And so I began to pray about it, and I wrote out 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I have it in my car. And every time I'd go to Domino's, I'd take that out, and I'd read it. And I'd read about how the Bible says that when I love people, that if love is ruling in my heart, if what's going on in my heart, what's going to come out of my mouth, what I'm going to think about when I see other people, is I'm going to think of them the way God thinks of me, and I'm going to love them, patient and kind and long-suffering, and not thinking evil. And it really helped me. I used to drive to Domino's after a while, and I would pray a prayer, and I'd say, Lord, help me to drive like a Christian today. I'll just tell you. And that's repentance. Now, that's a success story. I wish I could say I was perfect in driving, and just follow me. You'll find out I'm not. I try. But anyway, hey, this idea of repentance, what do you need to repent of tonight? If you have no idea, ask your wife. Ask your kids. That might not be the best strategy, but come on. Just be honest. Think about it. What's going on in your heart? What keeps on coming to your mind? What bothers you? What torques you? You know, what is it that just seems like it's just this thing that just keeps on irking you? That's God at work, brother and sister. If you know Christ, the Holy Spirit is inside. What's he doing? I mean, it's just like if you were to try to take this podium here and maybe there was some kind of burr on it and you were going to try to sand that thing off. I understand that this doesn't feel. But when God sands something off, when he's trying to smooth out rough edges on us, we feel the pressure. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And he's at work in us. That's the answer to our prayers. That's what we long for. That's God's answer. We just need to come clean with him and be honest with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul wrote to this church and said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here's our warfare. Here's what we are to do. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There's repentance. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Brothers and sisters, this is not what bad people do. This is what Christians do who are going to walk with God. Recognizing that in this heart and in this mind, there is stuff that's going to keep on cropping up and cropping up, these imaginations. Well, that person doesn't like me. Well, it might be true, it might not be true, but you just made it up. Or whatever. Imaginations. We can come up with all kinds of ideas. And we can be so convinced that we are right. And we might be right. But that doesn't justify us in our behavior. We are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our goal. That's why we won't make this happen until we get to glory and he'll remove all sin from us. But that's our goal. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. But I'll go quickly back to this idea of the unsaved. Repentance ought to be the routine sanctifying practice of believers as we learn God's word and aim to think and act like what God says. But repentance is necessary to have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at it last week in 2 Peter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ died in your place. He rose again to meet every need you have. God does not want anyone to perish in hell. God wants us to repent. And God does not want any of us as his children to be defeated by sin, overcome by sin, conquered by sin. God wants us to repent, to change our minds. Maybe set the word repentance aside if that has such baggage to it. But just think, I'm going to change my mind about this. Great, that's what repentance is. I'm going to change my mind about this. I'm not going to keep excusing it or denying it. I'm just going to face this. And I'm going to say, dear God, you know this, and I'm going to admit this to you. This is who I am, and it's about time that I start making some progress to be like Jesus. That's good repentance.